Come on, Bobby. Bobby
Bones. Transmitting across America. Now turn it up.
Now. This is the Bobby Bones Show. Let's go.
Welcome to Wednesday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
Hope everybody's good. Let's see what's happening. By the way, I did say maybe on Monday's show, do you like the segment? Let me know. And I would say like 95% of people like What's the Haps.
Nice.
Yeah. I was surprised how passionate people were about it. Mostly we just come on and go, well, here's what's happening. I mean, it really wasn't a real thought out segment, but people like it, so we're going to keep doing it. So, hey.
What's the Haps?
I'll go first, and I wasn't able to talk about it on the show yesterday, but I can mention it now. So, I'll read you the headline from the Billboard article. It's about a new project that I'm doing. Bobby Bones bringing the Grand Ole Opry back to TV as host and producer of the Circle Network's Opry. So, every week, they're now taking the Opry and turning it into a TV show and putting it out on Circle Network, which is a brand new network. And so, yeah, I'm hosting it. I'm writing it. I am executive producing it.
Yeah.
And so, the Grand Ole Opry has always been a big part of my life. And so the fact that we're able to make this work is a big deal to me. So I go in every Tuesday night because it was the one night that we figured I wasn't on the road. So it's a little work, sure. But we moved around a lot of things so I could do this. I'm super happy to do it. And, you know, just to play the Opry once was such a big deal to me. And now I've played it close to 20 times. And now I get to, you know, produce a show highlighting the Opry and super respecting what it has been, but also, and I talked about it in the article, how I want kids who are like 8, 9, 10 years old to think the Opry's cool too. So it's walking that line of respecting the past and also kind of cultivating what's happening now in the future of the Opry and making sure it doesn't ever go away. So it's a big deal for me. I wish I could announce it yesterday because it came out right after the show, and you may have seen it on my socials. But yeah, that's what I did last night. We shot the first show last night, Darius and Luke Combs. And,
wow.
When I shoot it, it then airs 2 weeks later. I believe the first date is the 26th. Before then, we have American Idol on Sunday. Let's not forget about that.
That's right.
but yeah, it was the big announcement. So I'm pretty proud of that. And I also realized I wouldn't get to do it without the listeners of the show. So I'm very excited about, you know, getting to start this show. And if you know how, like, you go to Apple TV and all the networks are on apps. The Opry is very forward-thinking, so you can just type in Opry and it's there.
Oh, cool.
It's an app network. Like, I have CNN on my app. Yeah. I have a bunch of those. Sure. I have an Amazon app. I even run Amazon from Apple TV now.
Oh,
okay. Where I used to go to Amazon. Now it's all getting weird. But I have all my apps. Anyway, so I'm super excited about that. That's my What's the Haps today.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Yeah, come on, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I was even thinking about that the other day. You know, I don't know why I was thinking about the Opry. Maybe something came on the radio and made me think about it. And I was like, because I knew what you had going on. And I thought, this is crazy where we are now. You're a part of what is happening with it now, but also I'm thinking like way down the line how you're going to be a part of history.
Easy.
No.
That's a way to jinx it right now.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was sharing with you
I don't believe in the jinx.
My genuine thought that I had, and it was really neat because, you know, coming into this realm and not really knowing what was going to happen and then how, you know, you've integrated into country music and how passionate you are about it. And like, again, being forward thinking and creative and being part of stuff that's going to, keep kids involved. And then I think back of older people we see like that were a part of the Opry back in the day. And like now y'all, like you play the Opry and Eddie gets up there with you. And like now y'all, like years from now to look back and be like, wow, y'all were a part of the Opry. Like, that's really cool.
Pretty cool.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you all. Thank you.
Oh, boy. Here we go again.
All right. Thank you.
Man.
All right. I'm done now.
I don't know how to follow that.
You don't.
You don't. You just say, hey, you just say congrats and you move on.
No. All right. Let's go to Amy now. Hey.
What's the hat?
So I was at dinner with some friends from Denver, and they were talking about how they've got 3 teenage kids, and it's just really hard. They both are working full-time, and it's hard to get their kids to sporting activities and different things. And a long time ago, they were able to use Uber, and then Uber got a little weird. Sometimes the driver would be like, nope, I'm not taking your kid anywhere. But now there's a new app, and it's called Hop, Skip, Drive, and they use it. all the time.
Is it everywhere?
And they said, I know it's not totally nationwide, but there are certain cities that have it, and then it'll be rolled out nationwide. So it could be in your city. You just have to look it up. But they use it for times that they're in a pinch and they can't get home from work to get their kid to practice in time. And he's like 13. And most of the drivers, they're heavily vetted. Most of them are former school teachers. And they have a secret word they have to use to get in the car.
Oh, wow. So they're not dangerous.
Yeah, so that way you know they're not dangerous. And so I thought that was like super cool.
And it's called Hop, Skip, Drive.
Yep.
All right, there you go. Hey,
what's the hat?
Lunchbox.
Man, first rule of Fight Club is you never talk about Fight Club. Police are investigating some parents in Canada. They have a secret Fight Club where they would take their kids up to the high school at night. And they would park their cars in a circle, shine the headlights on, and they'd have the kids fight.
Oh, what? My gosh.
Yeah, I don't know that I would want to fight for fun.
Yeah.
Like, I know some people do, and they like to fight because the kids are the ones doing this. I mean, but
the fights are arranged ahead of time.
The adults
aren't
making the kids fight.
Yeah, but they're supporting them.
Okay, right. But I'm saying the kids want to do it. I just would never want to be hit.
I know.
Even
these are future UFC fighters, right, or something? Like, they have to want to fight.
Are they betting on the kids?
I haven't seen anything about betting.
Surely they are, right? Like, why would you do it if you couldn't bet on your kid?
That's crazy.
I mean, you would have to.
I just don't understand why it would be fun to fight, because I guess I don't have that aggressive part of me where I want to break things or hit things.
Have you ever fought?
No.
Never?
I don't think so.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, I've never gotten into
like a brawl.
I got into a one punch and I was out. That's it. I got through a punch and I'm like, I'm done.
Where did you ran or what?
This was in junior high. Hit him in the face.
Did you?
Yeah. And then they called me in 2 periods later. They're like, knock on the door, principal's office.
My trainer will work with me on how not to get into fights. That's what we work on.
Yeah.
And I box a lot, but our training is if someone does attack you, here's how to get out of it as fast as possible and get out. He's like, you never want to get into a fight with someone where you're standing up slugging like a boxing match.
Ugh.
It's like humans don't do that. They grab for eyes and hair, and if you have to do it, that's what you do. You grab and you poke. But it's mostly like if you have a drink, toss it at them and then hit them and run.
Yeah.
But that's what we work on is practical ways to get out of fights. Because I don't want to do this. Yeah, that's crazy. Are they in trouble, Lunchbox?
There's no arrest been made, but the police are interviewing people, and a letter went out to all the people at the high school.
I guess they're not doing anything illegal.
I mean, yeah, it's after school, and they just use the parking lot and shine them. I mean, just imagine the cars in a circle with the lights, kind of like an arena.
Yeah. That's weird.
Kind of.
It's a real small arena. All right, hey!
Hey, what's the hat?
Eddie?
Well, I thought mine was cool before Bobby did it. It's like, I finally thought I made it, you know, because I have fake Instagram account out there following some people. I've gotten some messages from some of our listeners saying, there's a producer.eddie on Instagram following them. I'm like, how cool is that? Somebody wants to be me. But then I thought about it. Maybe it's not that cool because
someone in Russia or South Africa is hacking our listeners.
Right. And they're going to start asking them for money or something. I don't think they've done it yet. But I had a little mixed emotions when I found out. Because it is cool.
You're like, I've made it.
It's not, it's not cool.
But then, no, it's not really cool, actually.
It's not cool.
No, yeah. Because
the people that pose as me sometimes will talk in a language that they're like, hey, lovey, I'm just reaching out to my fans. And people that know me or follow me know I don't talk like that.
Right.
Never.
Yeah.
And isn't it crazy to see those accounts, though, and just look at it and be like, dang, that looks exactly, that's my account.
And they move all of your
mirror
pictures.
Everything, yeah.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
From your bio, your profile picture,
yeah.
And all of them. Yeah.
Pretty nuts.
Well, congratulations,
hey,
sort of.
Thank you. Thank kind of, but not really.
Weirdo. All right, there you go. Hey.
Hey, what's the hat?
Here's the Bobby Bones Show podcast highlight segment of the day.
So one of my friends said, hey, have you looked at your show Facebook page? I said, no, why? She said, because that thread about Amy quarantining her kids.
Oh, I don't want to look.
Has blown up. And so I went over to the Bobby Bones Show Facebook page, and there were thousands of comments. Just as a reset, Amy's kids got sick. They're 9 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy didn't let them come downstairs, and she would put their food on the stairs, and they'd have to go get it and go back to their room.
Well, they have a common area. They have a TV room upstairs they could hang out in together, like a common area.
But she quarantined them for a few reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One, she said they didn't need her to lay with them and be all over lovey-dovey. They're older than that. They kind of didn't want you all over them, right?
Right.
Your dad is also at your house a lot, and he's really old. And
yes.
You can't get him sick.
He can't be sick, yeah.
And then lastly, you said, well, you just didn't want to be sick either.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. To me, I don't understand. I get it. If one of my kids was like, Mom, I just need you. Like, hold me. That's all I want. It'll make me feel so much better. Okay, fine. I guess I'm going to have to sacrifice, suck it up, and maybe get sick. But, like, that's just not how my household is. So really, I'm not going to go down for nothing.
For nothing.
Yeah.
Well, just so many comments.
Oh, gosh.
What do you think the percentage was on people your side, people against you? I have the breakdown here.
I don't know. The way you're positioning it, I guess it's probably like 30% with me, 70% against me.
No, 65% of people were on your side.
Oh, wow. I'm shocked.
Either they had done it themselves or they were very open to the idea. 35% were mom shaming you and hard.
Okay, get
over
I'll
read
yourselves.
You a pro, Amy.
No, no. I said get over yourselves because here's the thing. Like, even really think about it. Really. Maybe for some of these moms, I'm giving them permission and freedom to feel how they really feel, which is don't get me sick.
Here you go. This is from Heather Matthews. I've never thought of this. That's a great idea. When the child goes down, typically the mom goes down next. And everything falls back on the mom to do if she's puking her guts up. She still has to take care of the house to get the kids ready everywhere. This is a great idea. That's from Heather Matthews. Here's another one in your favor. Kim Stevens says, Amy is a genius. We have a small house. Our girls share a room and quarantine themselves. They're 13 and 15. Our boys are 8 and 11. And they want in mom and dad's bed. If I had two stories, I would definitely banish them upstairs. If mom gets sick, the whole operation comes to a halt. You can't nurture without swapping germs. But Amy's a genius.
Okay, those are pros.
On her side.
Sorry I just got aggressive by saying get over yourself to some people. I just don't feel like this is anything to attack me on.
Melissa Slagel Detweiler says, that's just wrong. I'm a nurse, and I don't stay away from my patients because they're sick. I follow guidelines and protect myself appropriately, but I am still right there next to them, helping them any way they need it. I'm also a mom of four. When your kid's feeling sick, that's when they need you the most. Love means putting the needs of others over your own.
Dang.
Nurses are like angels. Mm. That's why she has a gift. She loves to care for people.
Christopher Duncan says, nope, with a thumbs down emoji. When you become a parent, it comes with the territory. I've been puked on. It's going to happen. You got to cuddle those babies and be affectionate. If I'm sick, I try to stay away to keep them healthy, but not flipped.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, again, mostly though, it was the good side, but there was a lot of mom shaming going on. Karen Thornhill, this is very bad parenting. Or this is bad parenting. That's what it says. This is bad parenting. When my little ones are sick, I definitely give them a little more attention, stroking their hair, wet washcloth on their forehead, even some snuggles.
Aww.
How do you feel about yourself now?
Okay, well, I can throw them a wet washcloth.
Throw it to them?
Like a grenade. Pull. Like a skeet.
And they can place it on their head. My kids have not shown, they don't think this is weird, although... Honestly, like this is what all my kids know. Like they don't know any different. You know, they've only been living with us for 2 years. They're from Haiti. They came from an orphanage where there was 75 other kids and like six nannies. So
what happens if they got sick at the orphanage?
I don't know. Good question. I mean, I assume it probably just went around. Their immune system is pretty strong. Like I'm actually kind of shocked they got this fever cold thing because they're rarely sick. Because I think they were exposed to so much and living with all the kids. But, I mean, I imagine it probably passes around real quick and then they get over it. But they probably didn't get a lot of cuddling.
Going to that orphanage, because I went before Amy's kids came over, because I just wanted to see how they lived, because I knew they'd be a big part of my life. And I would go into the rooms, and there was basically one big room for the boys. No windows. I mean, they had window holes, but there was no glass over the windows. And it was a few bunk bed sets with really old mattresses on top and bottom. No blanket or sheet, and just all shoved together. Because I guess they would all just kind of sleep
together. Yeah, a lot of times they would just sleep on the beds, but like nap time would be out on the patio outside on the concrete. And they would just lay there. And it was so hot, you didn't need a blanket. Because they were always sweating anyways.
I'll tell you about that, though. I can be hot in my room. I can't go to sleep without that comforter.
I know, but they don't.
It's basically the same, Amy.
No, that's
the
just...
Haiti on the sidewalk is basically the same. Me in my bedroom without a comforter when it's 73.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be another thing to wash. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's... But I also would just like to say in my defense that I do love my kids and I do nurture them. But when they're sick, this is just what we do. And they don't have a problem with it. And if one day they do, then I'll reevaluate.
And there you have it, folks.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
Raymundo, what you got?
In politics, Bernie Sanders won the New Hampshire primary Tuesday night, giving Democrats their first definitive winner in the presidential nomination process. In health news, the coronavirus death toll has exceeded 1,100 people. The good news is the number of new cases has declined for the second straight day in a row. And finally, 17 million people are on flood alert. This slow-moving storm is dumping rain from Texas to North Carolina. 6 inches of snow is expected along the Great Lakes and New England.
The Bobby Bones Show.
So when I do my podcast called The Bobby Cast, it's at my house. And nobody comes to my house, really, except for people coming to do my podcast. It's like I'm super private, except for work.
Mm-hmm.
So people come over, and Luke Combs came by. If you haven't heard this podcast yet, I encourage you to check it out. I haven't heard Luke Combs ever sit down for an hour and just talk with someone. So what I want to do is play a little bit of it for you now. Luke Combs stopped by my house. You can hear the whole thing if you search for The Bobby Cast, if you look later on today. And it starts with us talking about how he goes to a meeting and they're like, play me 3 songs. And it didn't turn out so good. They told him some stuff that wasn't pleasant. Like, you're never going to be an artist. Your songs aren't good.
Wow.
So he talks about this in this clip that I'm going to play you. And also the job that he had working in retail. So here it is. This is one of the latest episodes of my podcast, The Bobby Cast. Search Bobby Cast wherever you listen to podcasts. You can hear the whole thing. But this is Luke Combs and I talking right here.
Bobby Bones.
I went in and it was kind of like this person was like, well, play me 3 songs. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, this person's going to be like, I'm going to play these 3 songs. And they're going to walk me into the best publishing thing. And they're going to be like, this guy's great. Like, how could you not love this guy? Give him a publishing deal. So I played Hurricane, When It Rains, and One Number Away, which were my first 3 number 1s. And they were like, okay, here's the deal. You got to get better at songwriting. You got to write better songs. And you're never going to be an artist. So that's it. And I was like, and I wasn't like mad.
Do you know who said it?
Yeah, but I'm not going to say it.
I would never ask you to say it, but I'm just asking if you know who said it.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Have you seen them since?
I ran into them awkwardly at actually the BMI Awards.
Do you think they remember telling you that? Or do you think you were just someone that was coming through, churning through the system?
I don't think so at all. Which is fine. You know, I have nothing against that person. You know what? Because I get it, man. I mean, it's like if you look at it, I would equate it to at that level, you know, because you're not even screened at all at that level. And so I wasn't mad about it at all. I'm actually very thankful for that meeting. Because I did go out and feel like I wrote some of the best songs that I had ever written. Because I was like, man, I gotta write more and do better. Like, I'm not even close to as good as I need to be. And so I just kept my head down and I went and wrote a ton of songs. And then there were kind of the rest is just kind of fell into place. I mean, I know that's, you know, summarizing a big chain of events, but that's kind of how it felt.
A lot of folks come in, myself included, that worked retail because we kind of had to.
Yep.
You got to pay the bills somehow as you're chasing your creative endeavor.
Yes.
And I worked at Hobby Lobby. Mike, who was in? Michael Hobby from 1,000 Horses worked at The Buckle.
Okay.
You worked at iZod.
I did.
How'd that go?
I was not a great fit at iZod, but I had, you know, I had as much fun with it as you could possibly have folding people's golf sweaters, you know. It was in an outlet mall, like one of those like Tanger outlets or whatever they call it. They had one in Blowing Rock, which is right down the road from Boone. So it was, I mean, it was pretty miserable.
Did you do that?
I probably worked there for, I mean, close to a year, probably, I would think.
And whenever you are walking past a table of shirts that are messy, does it bother you and will you refold a shirt?
No chance.
No,
no chance.
Get your Bobby Bones on.
Bobby Bones, y'all.
All right, Kimberly in Pittsburgh is on. Hey, Kimberly, what's happening?
Morning, studio.
Morning.
Hey, I was going to see what bad habits you guys have.
What bad habits we have? All right, we'll go around the room. I bite my fingernails. I think that's a bad habit I have. You?
Oh, I ramble and say way too much, and I can be late sometimes.
You know, I got a text yesterday from someone named Kelsey, a 919 area code, and she said, Bobby, you interrupt Amy a lot.
I don't think you do.
I feel like I'm just putting up rails.
Yeah, I need those. Yeah.
So if it comes across as interrupting, my bad. But if I don't hop in sometimes, Amy does go.
She can go, yeah.
Yeah, I have a really hard time getting to the point, and most people in my life tell me that.
Hmm.
Here, at home, just get to the point.
So I bite my nails. You wrote a book on your stuff. What else do I do, though? What's another bad habit I have? Oh, wow. I love that.
You're perfect.
Yeah, you're pretty awesome.
Wow, it's amazing.
Bald. Like, he's so caring and kind. That's not bad.
Eddie, what's your bad habit?
I've heard that I just kind of don't pick up after myself. I take my shoes off.
You don't notice it yourself?
I leave them by the couch. I don't really close drawers or any kind of cabinet, stuff like that.
Yeah. A little late sometimes.
Better.
Yeah.
Ooh, gosh, 100% better.
Yeah. I'm not late. Mm. Like, we're not late. But I'm saying, in my husband's mind, a bad habit would be that I can't get out. I need to be early.
Yeah, Bones, we grew up late.
Yeah.
Like, that's how we were raised.
What do you mean you grew up late?
My family's late. Okay. Everyone's late.
I grew
late.
Up poor. You know what? We changed.
That's right. I'm not late anymore.
Oh, wow.
Lunchbox.
I don't know if it's a bad habit, but some people think it is. I eat my toenails.
Oh,
that's just disgusting. So it's not bad.
Yeah, right? See, I don't think it's bad, but people say it is.
Kimberly, what do you think about those?
The toenails is pretty gross. That was a plot twist.
Yeah, don't you take your toenails and pile them on your knee and eat them?
Yeah, while I'm watching TV, it's like a snack.
I just do not need to think about that.
Raymundo in the glass room, what's your worst habit?
Yeah, I'll ask too many questions. Apparently, I'm just supposed to go not knowing certain stuff, but my fiance always says, way too many, you're only allowed a couple questions from last night. And I'm like, okay.
You ask too many questions about life.
You're way too inquisitive.
Yeah, it's annoying to people sometimes if you just have to rattle off so many answers to so many questions.
Yeah, Stevenson, my son, he asks too many questions.
Well, he's also 9.
Well, it's
he's
annoying.
Learning about life.
I mean, if we're talking about annoying stuff, I don't know about bad habits, but annoying stuff. I have a rundown all the time every day. Like, this minute I need to be here.
Yeah. You time everything.
Yeah.
Constantly. Is that annoying?
A little bit.
But yeah. You just all you do is see me open my phone and time stuff.
I know.
It doesn't bother you.
It doesn't bother me, but it should bother you.
Affect us.
It doesn't bother me.
I don't think it's annoying. I'm really trying to think of other things you do that are annoying because you biting your nails also doesn't affect me.
True.
But some of our stuff affects other people. Like, do you do anything that affects other people?
I'm going to think about that.
You're perfect.
I guess not.
Tomorrow on the show. Kimberly, what's your worst habit?
Oh, that's a good question.
Sound like
I don't
me.
Even know.
Yeah.
I know.
It's perfect.
I'm tough. Not,
wow.
I sound like I think I'm perfect, but I really think.
Tough.
I'm not kind of a go-to. I pick up after myself. Well, my mom would probably say different.
We appreciate your call. Thanks for the question. Thanks for listening in Pittsburgh. Tell everybody there we said hi, if you don't mind. Walk around the streets of Pittsburgh today saying, Bobby Bone says hi.
I will shout it out.
All right. Thank you, Kimberly. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
Right. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number 2's 30 Second Skinny.
Our own Bobby Bones will be hosting Opry, an hour-long show airing on Circle Network. It debuts February 26th and will feature performances from Grand Ole Opry shows along with interviews and behind-the-scenes footage.
Yeah, I got to mention it this morning for the first time, but yeah, I'll be producing the show, hosting the show. And it's just all me performing, not even any other artist.
Stop.
I just show
that
up.
That part's not true.
That'd be funny.
Every hour is just me. Welcome to the Opry. And this week, it's Bobby Bones. And last night we actually shot our first episode. It takes 2 weeks to get them out. But it's Darius, Luke Combs, and then it's all the collection of the big performances from the week made into a show. Now, Circle isn't fully available everywhere yet, but it will be available all through. They want it to be ready and rocking in summertime. It's available in a lot of cities already, but as far as like an app when you can watch everything, because there are some really cool shows on it too. They had one last night. It's called The Other Half, and it was Justin Moore's wife and Justin Moore, but is at their house.
Oh, that's cool.
With her. It's one of the programs they do. Anyway, I'm very honored to be hosting the show and producing the show. I love the Grand Ole Opry, and I shall stop talking now. What else?
Valentine's Day is coming up, and Carrie Underwood really loves just about any kind of chocolate.
Chocolate's every woman's friend in their time of need or in their time of happiness or in their time of sadness or madness. Chocolate is my friend. Anything with caramel in it, oh, white chocolate's good too. Can't beat some good white chocolate.
Is she whispering?
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
It's all like this. I also like chocolate, but yeah. I talk about chocolate a little more passionately. What else?
And Randy Houser doesn't bring his baby on the tour bus with him, and his wife understands.
We're all on one bus, all my band and everything, we're on one bus these days, and you can't bring an infant, you know, in that situation. It's not made for that, you know, and she's cool. Somehow, I'm very thankful.
Is everyone asleep in the clips today? Even Hauser sounds like he's in the bed on his tour bus.
I just want to say, I know everybody's asleep, but we ain't bringing a baby.
Can you do a Hauser impression?
Not really. No, that's on the spot. No. Not really. Let me work on that one.
All right.
I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So there's this sweet three-year-old girl, Adelaide Stanley, and she can't go out in public and to be around people because she's had months and months of chemo and cancer treatment stuff happening. And so it's weakened her immune system, but she has her favorite restaurant, and she really, really wanted to go there. So the restaurant arranged for them to come in early, and they got the staff there and the cooks and everything, and they got to dine there alone, so that way there wasn't other people there, so she wasn't exposed to all the germs and stuff. And they served her meal, and they even paid for it.
Wow. And let's shout out the restaurant that they went to, and the name of the restaurant is?
Jay Wilson's in Beaumont, Texas.
Shout out Jay Wilson.
Yep. Yeah.
Of all the Wilsons, Jay's my favorite. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. All
right. Super cool.
That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Ottawa, Canada. A 55-year-old man's going through a divorce, and he is mad at his ex-wife. So he's like, you know what? Sold the house, and instead of giving her half, he burned the $1 million. Burned the stack of cash.
That's so
Which
dumb.
Was all the money for the house?
Which was all the money, so she couldn't get her hands on it.
Why not just burn the house?
Burn the cash? That's crazy.
So the judge got so mad at him, sentenced him to 30 days in jail.
And I bet he's like, cool. They're only 30 days? Cool. Here's what I'd like to say. I know you guys give me a hard time when I go, hey, prenups, I never plan to use it. Like, why would I be scared to sign one? I never plan to use it. I would sign one if someone was like, I need you to sign this. I'd sign it. I'd hope that they would sign it for me. And you go, well, your marriage isn't supposed to be like that. You're supposed. Do you think that they thought they were going to fight this bitterly when they got married?
No.
Of course not.
No chance.
Of course not. Of course not.
I know, but I'm not. Most you people are not going to do that.
But again, you never know how someone's going to react until they're put into a situation.
You have an idea, right?
I mean, I can guarantee my husband would not
do idea.
That.
I bet this guy married her like we're going to be together forever. And I bet he goes, the one thing she's never going to do is burn. I'm going to burn her money. Oh, my goodness. Crazy.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
Do your kids like being in school with other kids?
Yeah, like they really do. They're making friends and it's so cute and they are just, I feel like their personalities are growing because they're having way more interaction.
If you're new to the show, Amy's kids, they've been a couple years now. She adopted them from Haiti. And so the first bit of time they were here, they had to do basically homeschool, but not at home.
They went away, but it was one-on-one. Their first year was like, they didn't even really speak English and they were in a special program and then they went to one-on-one. And so now we're finally like in a groove and I feel like they get to be kids with other kids and it's awesome.
So do they go to school in the same building?
Well, Stashira is in middle school and Stevenson's in elementary school. But yes, it is the same building, but totally different halls. So they really don't interact at all. But there is one part of the day where they pass each other. And Stevenson freaks out, smiles really big and waves. And he's like, Stashira, that's my sister, you know. And he like gets really excited. And she just walks past him like she doesn't hear him.
Oh, she ignores her little brother?
She ignores him. And so it's become a thing because Stevenson has come home from school and he continues to say, she's ignoring me and it's hurting my feelings. And, you know, what do I do? And Stashira's response is, no, I'm embarrassed of him. I'm not stopping.
Why is she embarrassed of him?
Because he's like, I don't know.
Does he look up to her at home?
Yes. And I tried to tell her that. I said, he looks up to you. Things you do, you may not feel this way, but he does look up to you as his big sister. So you need to take on that responsibility. And also, you need to make sure that he feels comfortable at school. Like, he's excited when he sees you. And she goes, that's the embarrassing part. Like, he's not just like, oh, hey, sister, what up? Like, he freaks out. So she just doesn't want to draw attention to it. So she just keeps walking.
Is that exciting for you? Because biologically, they weren't born brother and sister.
Right. No, they have different moms and dads. And so, yes, like, to see, to me, it's a struggle because part of me likes it because it's, means they're acting like brother and sister. And the other part of me has to step in and talk to Stashira and tell her, you need to talk to your little brother at school. Like, you can't ignore him.
And what does she say?
She just rolls her eyes.
And she tried it all?
Not to my knowledge yet.
Was your big sister like that with you?
No, but we were never really in school together. But she was always pretty cool to me. My sister's super nice. Like, really nice.
Eddie, you have two sons. Do they interact at school at all?
No, they're not in school. They're not the same school now because my son's in middle school, the older one. But when they did, though, same kind of thing that Amy's talking about. They would ignore each other. The little one's excited to see the big brother. The big brother doesn't want to see the little kids at all.
It's like the little sibling is embarrassing.
Cramping his style, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's embarrassing me when I pick him up at school.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. He doesn't even look at me. He just walks in the door with his head down. I'm like, why are you embarrassed of me?
You're 12-year-old? How old is he?
12.
You're 12?
Yeah, it's a cool thing. It's like,
I know. That's
but you have a cool car. You have a Jeep. You have a red
Jeep.
I
agree, dude. And I have the music blared up and everything. Well, that's here.
You could probably take that down.
Oh, maybe that's why.
What kind of music are you listening to when you pull up?
Oh, Big 98, man. Country station. Turn it up. And dad's like, as soon as he gets the car, he's like, Dad, turn that down, please. Come on.
Is it bad that we try to say to our kids that we're cool? Does that make us not cool?
I think if you have to say you're cool, you're not.
No, I just need Sashira to know that I am cool. And she needs to recognize that I'm cool.
Amy,
she can
I
have
take
totally
my son to
cool.
our shows and he still doesn't think I'm cool.
Yeah, I think
we played the Opry, and he still doesn't think that's cool.
No, I think he's sandbagging on that because I was side stage with him when y'all were playing the Opry with like the Million Dollar Show with Brooks and Dunn and like Sam Hunt and like all these people, and he was standing side stage singing along with y'all on everything you were doing, Eddie. He was very proud of
maybe
you.
Maybe he just won't tell me.
Yeah,
then.
I think he's hiding it from
it's
you.
It's not cool to tell your dad he's cool.
Yeah,
he's cool.
That's true.
Here's the thing. Here's the general rule. We as a show, if we ever wonder if we're cool, we're not. The end.
Okay.
Good? Shira, if you're listening, good. I'm cool. Mom's
no,
cool.
No, she's not.
Yeah. Yes, Bobby
Bones. Nothing I love more than Lunchbox messing with people on the phone. So Lunchbox is calling really expensive restaurants and telling them he needs to cancel his reservation because his girlfriend just broke up with him. Is there anything else I need to know?
Well, yeah, and they start asking me about when my reservation is, but then I really want them to give me love advice on how I can win my girlfriend back.
Okay, so it's... canceling, but also you want therapy from random...
Yes, from random people just answering the phone.
Okay, here we go. This is the first one.
Thanks for holding.
I have dinner reservations on Friday, and I need to cancel because my girlfriend broke up.
I'm so sorry.
She said, I love you, but I'm not in love with you.
I'm sorry.
I thought this dinner was going to be so perfect. Like,
sir, I have to go. I've got another call.
Yeah, do I go to her work? Like, do I...
No, sir, you don't bother her. Oh. That won't help.
You know, how can I be in love with her and she love me but not be in love with me? I do not get it.
Wow.
Click.
So she was done with you?
Yeah, she was done with me. She had another call.
She did give you a little bit of advice, though, which I thought was kind of nice.
Yeah, don't bother her.
What, don't go to her work?
Oh, yeah. She said, yeah, don't go to her work.
It's important. Don't do that.
There's Lunchbox calling restaurants to cancel reservations because he just got dumped.
Hello?
I have dinner reservations on Friday, and I need to cancel.
What's that, Ben?
My girlfriend broke up with me.
Oh, I'm sorry for you.
Help me. Like, what can I do? Like, what would you do? Like, how do I say?
I don't know. It's too much personal situation. I don't know you. I don't know her. I can't suggest anything. Try to contact her with a good way and try to speak with her. Maybe make appointment just to speak and try to figure out what's happened and what you can do.
I really do appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Make an appointment.
What kind of restaurant was that one?
That was like a seafood and steak place.
Okay. We'll do one more. Here is Lunchbox calling reservation to cancel his Valentine's plan because he just got dumped.
No, thank you for calling.
I have dinner reservations on Friday. And I need to cancel because my girlfriend broke up with me.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, like... She tells me I'm not a good listener, and I'm like, I don't know what she's like. Whenever I talk, you don't pay attention. You don't take any of my opinions into consideration, and that's not true, and I don't know.
What is your reservation, my dear?
Like, how do I show her look, babe?
Sometimes they just have something stuck in their heads, and even when you are there for them and when you are 100%, that's just the thing they have in their heads that you're not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though you are. Don't be so harsh on yourself.
All right.
Please don't.
Thank you. All right. Hey, have a good day. Thank you. Bye.
You as well. Bye-bye.
He never canceled reservations at any of them, though.
They got caught up with the advice.
My favorite, though, is like, he said he wasn't a good listener, and then she starts talking over her.
Yeah.
Also not being a good listener. and didn't cancel a single reservation.
No, never got to that point because they just tried to give me advice and they forget about that and it was time to go.
Anyone ever been dumped near Valentine's Day?
Mm-mm. No.
No. I mean, no chicks breaking up with me.
Ever?
Ever. Ever.
Think about that. I don't realize I forget you're such a stud.
But I mean, have you dumped a girl because of Valentine's Day?
No, I was never really in serious. Like, you try to avoid that Thanksgiving to Valentine's Day time to be in a relationship because...
That's 4 months. That's like a third of the year. You try to avoid a third of the year because you might have to buy them a gift?
Well, Thanksgiving, you'd have to go to their family. Christmas, had to buy them a gift. Valentine's Day, got to plan something special. So you try to avoid those
months. But then there's
spring
break, so got to leave that open.
Well, that's true, you got to pay for Cabo.
and then there's Easter.
My girlfriend said, hey, what do you do for holidays? She asked me recently, what do you do for holidays? And I was like, nothing. I just sit at home. She was like, so if Thanksgiving comes around and we're still together, so I think that's how she positioned it. I was like, why? Imagine I'll be going to your house. And she was like, oh, okay. I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
But I haven't done that in forever. But I won't be anti it this year, I don't think.
Okay.
Unless we're in a big fight.
You're going to be open to it.
No. Don't start a fight just to get out of it.
I don't know.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So J-Lo and Alex Rodriguez went on a double date with Harry and Meghan. Like, I just would like, I think that's like the coolest. So it made me wonder, like, who would you want to go on a double date with? Like, who's your ultimate? Because, I mean, I would probably choose J-Lo and A-Rod.
I would take John Krasinski and Emily Blunt.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
John Krasinski was Jim on The Office.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ask so many office questions.
Right, but that's not fun for them.
Yeah.
This is who I get to pick.
Oh, that's true.
Why would it not be fun for them?
It's his fantasy.
Like, I would pick, like, you and your girlfriend just because I know that would be a good time.
As your fantasy?
What? Your fantasy?
What are you talking about? Celebrity couple.
You're guaranteed a good time.
Well, Bobby's a celebrity, but that is... the lamest
First of
pick.
All, I'm not a celebrity. Here, second of all.
He's not playing. Play the game.
Play the game, Eddie.
Bobby and his girlfriend.
Oh, my God. You are so annoying.
You're so annoying. Even I think that's annoying.
Lunchbox. Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
They would be like, who is this guy?
Okay, I'm going to go with Bobby and his girlfriend. Hey, oh, my God. It was so lame.
Amy, what else?
So SeaWorld has ended trainers riding on dolphins. It's like something they've always done. It's called surfing. And they plan to phase it out. And like you know, when they stand on their snout and do all that kind of stuff, like they're just going to eliminate that.
How about we just eliminate keeping dolphins captive?
Yes, yeah, good idea. Good start.
Is that a thing? We could do that? You know, I'm just not a zoo guy. I'm not a SeaWorld guy.
One of my things I always wanted to do, and I've had to change this desire, I always wanted to swim with dolphins, like... but also ride the dolphin just because it looked so cool and dolphins just seem so sweet and I want to like pet them. But yeah, it's just not right.
Years ago, I swam with the dolphins.
And how was it?
I felt bad.
Yeah.
I really did. Got a picture, but I just felt bad. I felt more guilty than I did fun. And I don't know if I posted the picture, maybe didn't, but I felt weird about it.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, it's one of those things, but yeah. Okay, and speaking of posting things, posting strong opinions on social media could ruin your chances of being hired. And it's not just strong opinions. It could be if you come across as conceited or self-absorbed or...
Wait, isn't that all of social media? Like all of that, if you post anything, it almost comes out like that.
Or controversial topics. Anyway, bosses, people that are hiring, they're looking at this stuff. So make sure that if you're trying to find a job, you may want to go easy on the controversial or political topics or something like that.
Well, I know I've had to hire people on this show and I've looked at their Instagrams. I don't go to Facebook,
mm-hmm.
but I've looked at Instagrams. And if there's a picture of like someone doing a selfie in a thong, I'm like, you know, right now. It does matter. All of that is your public profile. Yeah. I mean, that's it. You got to know what you're putting out there is for everyone to see.
Yeah.
The people you want to see, the people you don't want to see it. If you put it out there, it's part of what can be used for you or against you.
I was trying to have this exact conversation with my daughter who's 12 years old and doesn't really understand. And she loves to post things on TikTok. And we have a conversation of what videos or what dances are appropriate. Because she sees all these other people on TikTok doing the dance. And I'm like, that's fine for them. But Dad and I don't want you doing certain moves. Like, even if they seem innocent, you as a 12-year-old girl do not need to be doing that on the internet. And she came back in. She goes, I think you and Dad are being too protective. And I was like, whoa, where'd you learn that?
Well, you probably said the same thing to your mom.
Yes, and I told her that. I said, I understand, and I remember feeling that way as a kid, but please know that everything Dad and I do, it is for your best interest, and this is the internet, and stuff lives out there, and you need to be careful of what you put on the internet. I said, we didn't have the internet when I was a kid. Thank goodness. because I was crazy. Just kidding. But also, posting about alcohol or drug use is a huge red flag if you're trying to get hired.
I thought you talked to your daughter. Like, yeah, Sharon, posting about drug use is not the way to do
TikToks. No, but recruiters, they don't like drug use on social media. I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Oh. It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
Dalton is 25 years old, and he went for his annual physical for work, and they said, hey, man, I'm sorry to tell you, but you're in stage 3 kidney failure. And he was like, whoa, so he needed a kidney donation. He goes to his twin brother who gets tested, and he's a perfect match. Only problem is he's overweight, so his brother's like, man, I got to get my life together. Drops 60 pounds and donates a kidney to his identical twin brother.
That's like two stages there. One, the kidney donation, which you would think your brother would do, but would he drop 60 lbs? That's the question that he did. That's awesome. That is what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Transmitting across America.
Turn it up.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Let's go.
Real excited because Coach Monica from the Netflix docuseries Cheer is coming up in the next 10 minutes. So we're very excited about that. Now let's go over to Amy and get the morning corny.
The morning corny.
Why did the ice cream truck crash?
Why did the ice cream truck crash?
The driver was on a rocky road.
Funny. That's good. Oh, wow.
Oh. That was the morning corny.
We're going to go to Karina in Ohio, who is standing by to talk on the show. Hey, Karina, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. What's going on with you?
I wanted to tell you good morning, or to tell you thank you, because for many years, my husband has not been a positive person, and I've been working to try to make him a positive person. Kind of the same background as you, and would give him the books and tell him to listen to Bobby. He's great. He's positive. I've been married to this man for 14 years, and the past few years have been the best years of our life. And I honestly believe, Bobby, it's because he listens to you every morning. He sees you now on TikTok with your girlfriend and literally said to me, why does everybody have to act macho? Why can't we all just be like Bobby? And it's okay to show that you like your girlfriend or you like your wife or you like to be around your spouse. So I can't thank you enough, Bobby.
Well, that's very nice of you. My first question is, how hard was it to convince him to actually listen to the show or read one of my books?
It was hard because he's a cat. He doesn't like to change his environment. And we had some pretty rough times in our marriage, as most marriages do. And we both sat down and figured we need to do something different than what we're doing now. We need to not be negative. We need to be positive. We also started working out due to you and eating healthier due to Amy. So thank you, Amy.
Look at this. We're influencing them all.
Wow.
Come on.
Well, I've lost 60 pounds.
Oh, my
wow,
God.
Wow, holy crap.
I've lost 30.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, Karina, this is a really wonderful call, and I appreciate you sharing. What's your husband's name?
His name is Terry.
Terry, thank
and we're
you.
Actually, we just booked our first trip to Nashville this summer.
Come on. Yeah. Well, Terry, congratulations. Karina, congratulations. We're so thankful that you listened to the show, and thanks for the support and reading the books and just being the positive people that you are. That's a great way to start that.
That's really nice.
The Bobby Bones Show.
All right, I want to say good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Except for this 82-year-old man who got jail time for constantly blasting his classical music.
What's wrong with that?
Jail time.
An 82-year-old guy who can't hear very well has been blasting his music for years. His neighbors recently got a court order to force him to play it quieter. Then when he didn't, he got arrested. And now he's been sentenced to 24 weeks in jail.
So who are you not wishing a good morning to?
Well, him. Listen to the law.
Oh, his neighbors, come on.
I guess he can't hear the law either.
Yeah, poor guy.
There was an 82-year-old guy named Ian Trainer. So he listens and he blasts it, but he had to go to court. And he's like, hey. Imagine if this was your neighbor, though, who's blasting Post Malone.
Yeah,
so loud, and you're like, I can't function and live my life. They have to turn it down, maybe get a better hearing aid. So, do you know I still And I don't know what this says about me. I still can't, like, fully respect classical music in the way that I should, like, appreciate it.
Really?
Like, I understand its influences through the generations and how amazing certain composers were, especially people who couldn't hear.
Yeah.
And
have you ever been to a symphony?
Yeah, and that's a little bit cool, but I get bored pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't feel like my palate for classical music is as snotty as it could be. It needs to be snottier.
I love it.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Who
I love it.
Oh,
there are some mornings, guys, when I drive in and I'm listening to that, the station that's really low on the dial, like, I don't know, a 47.
Is Eddie lying right now?
I'm serious.
Hey, who are your favorite composers, like, man?
Oh, Beethoven. I love Chopin. Mozart.
Eddie, what are you talking about?
Hold on, here's what we'll do next
week.
Come on. What we'll do next week. I'll line up 10 of the most famous classical music compositions, symphonies of all time.
Great.
If you can name 6 of 10, I'll give you $50.
Man, you're going to let him study. You should have dropped it on him, but yeah, I don't think he can do it.
That's true.
Yeah, I can probably do it.
Like, that's...
Probably do it right now.
Yeah. Oh.
We don't have the okay.
Well, who is this
you
right
know
now,
what?
Eddie?
You know what? We'll do it later on today. Okay. You can't study.
Okay.
We'll do it next hour.
All right. I like this test.
And if
I do love my composers.
6 of 10, you just have to get the composer. I don't care about the song. You have to get the composer.
Oh, so you're going to play a clip, and then I have to tell you this is going to be so hard.
No, you're a big fan.
You're a big
dude.
Fan.
I do enjoy
it's
my classical music.
It's what you listen to every day on your way to work.
Yeah, you're trying to work on that station that's low on the dial.
No.
That's right.
Like once a week.
We got you right now. We're going to, but most famous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the Beethovens out there.
Oh, you have to, you know what? I'm going to lower you one. 5 of 10.
Okay, I love it.
Or do you want less?
Sebastian Bach.
Johann Sebastian Bach?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, maybe Sebastian Bach was like an 80s guitarist. I think he was.
Do you want to go? You want to go less than 10?
Like 5?
You want to, okay, I'll tell you what.
Fair enough.
We'll do 6. If you can get 3 of 6, you win.
Okay.
We'll do that in about an hour. All right.
Woo!
What a goober. Well, what if you lose? What happens?
Yeah. Nothing. Then Bobby gets
to punch you in the arm or something.
No. If we lose.
Here we go. Please don't put me on the street again.
If we lose, I get to control your avatar picture on Instagram's Twitter for
what, like
3 days?
Couple of, no, 24 hours.
2 days.
24 hours.
A day and a half.
Take it.
Deal. All right, good. All right, that's what we'll do. Everybody good on that?
Yeah. The Bobby Bones Show.
I'm really excited about this interview. So much so that Amy and I were texting about Coach Monica coming on today, which mm-hmm. we don't often talk about the show in our personal life. She's currently the coach of the elite co-ed cheerleading team at Navarro College in Corsicana, Texas. Coach Monica is on from Cheer, yeah. Netflix.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. We are super pumped you're on the show, so thanks for taking a few minutes with us.
Of course.
You know, I wonder, when I'm watching the show, I don't know anything about cheerleading at all. And I was like, it popped up on the left side of my screen. And I was like, what is this show? And I thought, I'm going to give it a half an episode. And then I was just hooked and know nothing about cheerleading and knew nothing. I've been to Corsicana. I didn't know that this was even a thing here. And so how did they approach you to do this show initially?
Well, I was contacted back in 2017 from some of the producers of Last Chance U. So I don't know if you've seen that or not on Netflix, but it's about junior college football. And they were kind of playing around the idea of doing a show about cheerleading in the same style that they do Last Chance U. And that we were one of the schools that they were looking at. So that led to a few phone calls, some conference calls with our athletic director, marketing team, and their producers, which then led to them coming out in the spring of 2018 to film us for a couple of days to just see if they were a good fit for us and we were a good fit for them. And then it just proceeded from there. And, you know, we worked out a deal, and they came in last year and filmed us when we were preparing for our competition.
As they're there filming, did you think, man, this is going to be really something big, or were you just going, I don't know what this is going to be?
Well, I had seen Last Chance U, which is a really good show, just the way they produced it. But I, of course, thought it would not even be as big as that, just because it's, you know, cheerleading, and I figured it would really be more popular just in the cheerleading community. I didn't think that it would be like this at all.
So your life is 180, right, since January?
Yes, and we weren't prepared for this, so we're just kind of learning, you know, as we go. Right now we're just trying to really honestly keep our head above water and survive. So,
is it hard to actually do what you're paid to do and coach and also be famous and promote cheer on Netflix at the same time?
Well, the good thing is we kind of felt like we were a little bit ahead before we left for Christmas break on some of the things that we need to have ready for competition season. So we did take a week off when we went to L.A. for the Ellen show, and then we took a couple of days off for New York. But and, you know, in some years that could have been a problem just because of the things that we need to accomplish each week. But since we were a little bit ahead, you know, I feel like we're still right on track. We're learning our new routine this week. So, and we have a very good work ethic. So we know, you know, with our schedule, I know what kind of goals we should be hitting each week. And if we're not hitting those, then we just add extra practices in. So
oh, wow.
I think we'll be fine.
Would you ever say, all right, no more cameras because we're not getting our work done. So let's put the cameras away.
No, I mean, you know, when they came in last year, you know, we were a little bit nervous, I think, the first couple of days just because, you know, we were being filmed. But quickly, you know, especially because we were just focused on competition and getting ready and stuff. And, you know, they really were not a distraction at all. And the film crew became really close with them. They became like our family, and they were our biggest cheerleaders. They would get excited when, you know, we would hit the routine and stuff. So they weren't a distraction at all. So
Coach Monica from Cheer on Netflix is on with us right now. My question is, just knowing how sports work in a junior college level, how are some of these kids doing 3 years?
So for cheerleading, we don't fall under, you know, NJCAA rules for sports because we're not technically considered a sport. So we fall under, you know, the cheerleading rules. And you have 5 years of eligibility to compete in cheerleading, and three of those can be at the junior college level. So you have 3 years of eligibility in cheerleading to compete.
I'm thinking they may change the rule after this show. Like, it's such a big pop culture deal. This may actually change cheerleading because it is a sport. Like, you watch this show. If you don't come away from watching this show going, this is a sport, then I don't think you watched the right show. I think you probably accidentally saw something else. Amy, what would you like to ask her?
Well, like, it got into the stories. And like you said, like, Last Chance U, you watch it and these kids have these stories and these backgrounds and stuff you would never know. Like, I feel like I'd be watching these cheerleaders out there smiling and flipping and doing their thing and that they've just are on top of the world. But they come from some hard stuff and the show got into that and their backgrounds and they would visit their hometowns. Like, is there anything you learned about your team, like your kids, that you didn't know that you were surprised by, or were you already dialed in?
You know, usually we're pretty dialed in and we know. I mean, I did get some, you know, it was emotional for me to watch just because there were details that I didn't know, but I knew, you know, kind of the bulk of it. It got really intimate in some of those conversations. And so, you know, it got a little bit deeper than what I do know. But, you know, we're like a big family. So, you know, I'm really close to these kids and I knew their stories. And, you know, this is nothing new. I mean, we have these kind of kids come in every year, and which is, you know, one of the reasons that I'm still here. I feel like that's my calling and that's what, you know, makes me feel accomplished is to see them, you know, successful.
Are people coming to Corsicana now because of the show? Like, are you seeing a tourist boom?
Yes, we have definitely, like I said, we're learning as we go, so we just kind of have to figure it out. But, you know, we have people come in, just like last night we had a basketball game, and someone came up and to speak to me that does a commute to school to Dallas from Waco, and she stopped by specifically just to see us and see if I was there. But and we always have had closed practices, but we have so many people come in every day to try to come and see us. And so we kind of just had to put out a blanket statement that, you know, unfortunately we can't make ourselves available every day because we are in the middle of competition season and we just don't have the time to, like, stop practice for 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there. So, it's definitely, I see lots of people on social media posting pictures in front of the gym that we go to at night and the college or different places downtown. Yeah, it's been pretty crazy.
I've learned a lot of new words. I'd like to share some of the words I've learned. I've learned on mat.
Mm, uh-huh. Yeah.
I've learned full and full out, which are two different things that I've learned. A basket, not just something you keep a sandwich in. Like no. Cradle, mat talk. Yes. Mat talk, because I watched Jerry do mat talk.
So good.
And how important is mat talk when they're pumping each other up from the side of the mat?
Oh, I mean, mat talk is so important. It's not even just on the side of the mat. It's the people on the mat, too. I mean, that is the only way that they can make it you know, it seems like, oh, 2 minutes, 15 seconds, that's not that big a deal. But it's like running as fast as you can for 2 minutes and 15 seconds, you know, cardio-wise. It's hard to do. And so to be able to just mentally push yourself, because we can train physically to get ourselves there, but, you know, mentally to do that day in and day out, you know, it just takes that energy from the mat talk that it just puts you to that next level. It's so important.
I'm going to end with this, with Cheer Season 2. What do we know? Is it happening? Come on, Coach Monica, give us something here.
Well, you know, we don't really know anything right now. We're just excited about Season 1, so we're just happy to be here.
Well, if I could offer a bit of mentorship, because I'm a mentor in American Idol, so I'd like to mentor Monica now. I would say, Monica, hold out for a million an episode.
Wow.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow.
You heard it from me first, Monica. That's right. Hold out.
I will.
Listen, all seriousness, I think the show is so good. I did not expect to love it. And I do, and I love what you stand for and your work ethic and just the way you have such a tough love, but also a love relationship with the kids, and there are two different ways, and you're able to exhibit both of those. And so I really admire you for how you're running that team and all your championships. And outside of the show, it's just such a great story. So thank you for being on the show, and good luck next season, and good luck. You're now super famous. It's crazy. It's
I know.
Awesome.
What does your husband think?
I mean, we just can't believe it. I mean, like I said, we were not expecting this at all. I mean, we've had a name in the cheerleading world for a long time, so I'm used to that. But this is a completely different level. And so, I mean, it's fun. We're trying to enjoy the ride as long as we can. But, you know, like I said, it's hard because we are also working on that. I mean, we're doing like 13-hour days here, so it's a little exhausting, but, you know, we're pushing through.
Well, we're going to let you go. We're going to do a full out here, a radio full out when we hang up on you.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, we're going to go hard. Monica, thank you. And I don't know what we can ever do for you, but if there's ever anything, let us know, okay?
For sure.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right, there she is. Coach Monica from Cheer on Netflix. Bye, Monica. Bobby Bones, the Bobby Bones Show.
Hey. Come on. It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
In Wisconsin, a paramedic rescued a cat from a rooftop because of, quote, special circumstances. In the social media post, the fire department explains that they normally don't rescue cats from trees or roofs, but this call was special because the owners of the cat were elderly, and the cat, which was also elderly, also happened to be blind and deaf. Dang. Somehow the cat found itself on the roof in the middle of winter, so a paramedic crew responded, brought it back to safety, breaking the rules. But for a good reason, the fire department showed up at the home with the crew, made the rescue, and again, the old owners and the older cat all are alive as of today.
Happily ever after.
Thought that was a good one. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
The Bobby Bones Show.
I want to go talk to Kelly in Ohio, who's on the phone. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Bobby. How are you?
Pretty good. What's happening with you?
Just driving to work right now.
Well, I appreciate you listening. Thank you for calling. What can I do for you?
Yeah, so I have a question about dating, and maybe you and your therapist could help me out. Mm-hmm. So I'm a single mom with a full-time job, and I'm getting back in the dating scene. And I've matched a few people on those dating apps, and it seems like nowadays everybody wants to talk 24/7 with texting and constant communication, and I just don't have time for that. And I know you're a busy man. So I just wanted to know if you had any advice on how much it's appropriate to talk to somebody just starting out, how much time I should put into it.
Okay, I think the broader question is, how do I adjust to the new way of dating when I haven't dated this way in a long time? Do you feel that's another way that you're asking that question?
Yeah, that's fair.
My advice would be to fully embrace it in the time that you can embrace it, meaning, if you want something to work for you, whatever it is, you have to make it a priority, right? And if you're going to date, you got to be on the apps, especially if... How old are you, Kelly?
I'm 30.
Okay, perfect. You're great age for dating apps. You're on the apps. If you can talk to somebody for 15, 20 minutes a day, and that's what you have to make it a priority to do it, but be on the apps, talk to people you match with. I would even say, be deliberate about... If you want to go out with somebody, go out with them. On the dating apps, things die quick. You'll talk, and if you don't go out pretty quick, you never go out. Mm. What are you going to sit around and just blah, 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 blah forever?
Right.
So Morgan and Mattel, I'll bring you in on this too, because I'm off of them recently now that I have a girlfriend, but you're still on them?
Yeah, I'm still on them.
What is your advice to her about this?
I mean, she will definitely have to kind of adapt to the dating ways. You know, people do want to talk all the time, but I do think there's like the unicorns out there that won't want to talk all the time. So maybe the people who need her to talk all the time just aren't going to be the right person for her, and she needs to find that person who will text and talk when she can and understands her life.
That's a good piece of advice. And I think too, as you're looking for someone that's right for you, if you're looking for someone with kids or not, you explain to them, hey, I have kids and I can't be, you know, always available to talk about dating. I would like to get to know you more. Just again, I would say be very deliberate with your actions, even on saying how much you can communicate. But find people that are going through the same things that you are, someone that has kids too, because they'll understand. And like me, I probably wouldn't understand that much. If I matched her and she had a kid and I don't have a kid, I'd be like, well, why can't we talk all the time?
Right.
What is this kid thing you talk about?
Why are you so busy?
What's a mini human? What even is that? Yeah. So I would say level one, search for someone with like-minded thoughts, ideas that will understand your situation. Two, embrace the apps fully. Don't be embarrassed by it. Go right into it. Talk with people and then meet people that you want to meet sooner than later, because it's a dog eat dog world on the apps. If you don't meet with them, they're going to be meeting with somebody else. Would you agree with that, Morgan?
Yeah, that's definitely true. But it's okay if you don't like them. It doesn't matter. But it is dog eat dog world out there.
Dang. Kelly, how do you feel about that advice? Is that what you're asking for a little bit?
Yeah. I think that's good advice for sure.
Just it's hard to get it. Have you met anybody from the app?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like I want somebody in my life and I want to start dating, but I don't know.
Okay.
It's a lot.
Then this one I'm going to leave you with. It is a lot. If you really want it, it's uncomfortable. New is uncomfortable, but uncomfortable doesn't mean it's bad. If you do decide you found someone, encourage, hey, why don't we meet up? That's your first step into the uncomfortable world. Okay.
Okay.
Give me an update in like a month.
That's good advice, Bobby. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Talk to you soon. Bobby Bones Show. Earlier in the show, Eddie was doing what I'm calling now a culture flex. Mm. Meaning he was like, I love classical music.
Ugh.
He's like, I listen to it when I drive to work.
Stop. I can't even take him seriously.
We all rolled our eyes at him.
It's so peaceful.
He's like, I put it on that station real low in the dial. 81.1.
Yeah, you know, one of those.
Classic FM, here we are.
Yeah.
With the latest from Mozart.
Ooh, they play the good stuff early in the morning.
It's four Mozarts in a row. It's Mozart Monday here. So we've given Eddie the challenge. I'm going to play you six classical masterpieces. That's what we're going to call them.
Great. Are they like famous?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And all you have to do is name three of the composers. Hey, Raymundo, let's hit him with number seven, though. This is one that's not going to be on the list. But here you go. This is a fun one. Familiar?
No.
This is a very famous one.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it like from Cinderella, maybe?
I don't know.
Huh.
My point was, I wish I could appreciate it more. I didn't grow up on classical music.
Yeah.
I felt like that was only rich kids. I grew up in a small town in Arkansas. You grew up in the valley in Texas.
Yeah, I didn't grow up with it.
Right.
In college, I took a radio class or something, and I did I DJ'd the classical music.
Okay.
Oh, come on. Stop. Yes. Come out
stop.
Now.
Stop. What are you talking about?
I mean, in a minute, he's going to be like, I used to play classical.
Yeah. He was like, I was drafted
by the symphony in my town.
That composer is Georges Bizet.
Oh, never heard of him.
Mm. Yeah, me either. But I recognize.
They don't play him low on the dial?
I wasn't on this morning as you're driving in.
I've heard this one.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. This is going to be tough.
Ready?
It sounds like this sounds like this is going to sound
like
bad.
A car commercial?
No. Like, I'm picturing right now, like a guy, the crazy person that's about to murder somebody, listens to this while he's at home cooking dinner before he goes out.
Stop.
To like.
Stop. Yeah. Come on.
Yes.
Don't do that to these people in his music.
You're judging classical music.
That is Georges Bizet or Jorge Bizarre.
Oh, okay.
It's called Habanera or La Mure Est en Joie Rebelle.
Oh, he must be Spanish.
Okay, we have six of these here.
Come on.
By the way, I don't know Georges Bizet. All the rest of these I know.
Oh, you've seen their names before? Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have. Okay, number one. Go ahead.
Mm,
This is very familiar sounding.
Yep.
Turn that up, Ramon. I'm feeling it right now. Familiar, Eddie.
Of course.
Do you, oh, wait, do you know
it's
that?
It's so famous.
Do you, but are you 100% sure?
Not really.
Okay.
I'm going to guess on it.
Go ahead.
I believe this is Mozart.
That is actually Ludwig von Beethoven's Fifth Symphony in C minor. Damn. 0 for 1, bruh.
Not good.
If Eddie gets 3 out of 6, I give him $50. If he doesn't, I take control of his avatar for a few days.
24 hours.
36 hours.
You're on poser alert.
Okay, here we go. Let's listen to the second one for a bit. Eddie's doing the hands. He's doing composer hands now.
I'm trying to picture in my mind who did this. All right, I think I got it. I believe that is Mozart.
That is Mozart.
Yeah!
Wow!
I knew he'd come up at some point.
That is Ein Klein Nachtmusik.
Yes, in D minor.
No, I don't know about that.
Nope.
Okay. You're 1 for 2. You're on right now. Woo! You're on track. Eddie's got to get 3 out of 6 of these. Okay, here is your next classic masterpiece.
Amy, this for sure is in a car commercial.
The new Hyundai Sonata. For it.
It's Matthew McConaughey driving.
Have you ever heard that one, Eddie?
Yes, I have heard this. I'm gonna take a wild guess here. Johann Sebastian Bach.
Is that the only one you know?
Just guessing.
So that is called Harpsichord Concerto No. 1 in D minor by Johann Sebastian Bach.
Yeah!
Woo! Okay, but he's out of people. He's out.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No, I'm not.
I can't believe he got that. He gets one more, he wins. This is
awesome. Oh, yeah, I told you guys.
No, you're just guessing.
No, it doesn't matter. If he wins, he wins. We can't be a hater on a winner.
I know. Okay, but he's guessing.
I don't know. I don't know. To me, it looks like the guy knows a little something.
Amy, think whatever you want.
Okay. Here we go. This one is called, I'm going to say the name of it before we go, Toccata and Fugue in D minor, BBW 565.
Oh, wow. 565, yeah?
Yeah. Don't get that confused with 564.
No, no, no. It's a totally different song.
All right, here we go. Is that Phantom of the Opera?
No, just don't be silly.
Oh. Don't be silly.
All right.
Go ahead.
I'm going to just take another guess here. It's Tchaikovsky.
Toccata and Fugue in D minor, BMV 565, is by...
Come on.
A chum named Johann Sebastian Bach. Again.
Oh, you got me good. You got me real good.
Okay, we're 2 for 4.
Dang it.
By the way, I love this segment.
You like it?
I'm having a lot of fun.
Don't these songs sound cool, though?
They do. I'm just jealous now that you know so much about them and I don't.
Yeah, I'll come over to the house. I got records.
I didn't think about that. Okay. Here we go. Next up. Ever heard that one, Eddie?
Yes.
What does it sound like to you?
Car commercial. All right, I'll take another guess. Ludwig van Beethoven again.
Oh, Beethoven. He went with the Beethoven. He went with the big B.
Come on.
That is actually the Nutcracker, Act 1.
Tchaikovsky.
Number 4, Russian Dance by Tchaikovsky.
So dumb. You tricked me.
Oh, is this the last one?
This is the last
one. Oh,
my goodness.
It all comes down to, are you ready for this?
Y'all ready for this?
I hear it.
All right. One more to go. The question is, Are you ready for this? Banana dun dun. Last one.
Come on.
This is called Fur Elise Bagatelle number 25 in A minor.
Oh, perfect.
I can try to pronounce it better if you'd like.
No, no, it's great.
Okay.
It's Fur Elise.
If he gets it, he wins. If he misses, he loses. Hit it. This sounds like a murderer song, Amy.
See?
Yeah, this one does.
Yeah. This is like Hannibal Lecter.
What is this song for the win or the loss?
Dang it. Sounds a lot like that Moonlight Sonata song by Beethoven. But it's piano. Beethoven did some piano songs.
I like it being inside your head right now. This is fun for me. It's like, show me your work.
Could it be Frédéric Chopin?
Ooh!
Not my answer.
Do you know who that is?
No, I just yell, ooh. Amy, I don't know anything about classical music, really. No. But Chopin is definitely...
a composer.
A person, and that's dead.
You've heard of him?
Yeah, I've heard of him. I don't know anything he does.
Wow. What's it like to, like, hear things once and then always know it in your head?
Eddie?
I don't know. I'm going to guess here again. It's got to be Beethoven.
He says Beethoven.
It's got to be Beethoven again.
He says
Man,
Beethoven.
Man, please be Chopin or whatever you say.
It's not Chopin.
You don't think so?
No.
Chopin.
Are you so sure of it? You like to double your bet?
Yes.
I don't want to do that bet.
Wow.
Yes, that's not Chopin.
Hey, smart move. I like the way he goes, no, I don't want to do that.
Well.
Come on. Or is it Mozart?
Do you want to change it?
No.
You have one chance now to change it. You're thinking about it. I'll give you one shot to change it.
It's Beethoven, dude. Come on.
Beethoven.
I don't get it.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
That's it. It's Beethoven. This is the song that they're playing when they showed up in the telephone booth, dude. Beethoven! Yes! Right, Mike?
It's Beethoven! He won! He won! Yeah!
That's truly how I figured this out.
No, you'd already guessed.
Yeah, I know, but it solidified it.
Wow. You know what?
Wow.
You're a fan of classical music,
thank
and
you,
we can't
friend.
Deny it.
Yes, thank you, guys.
You like classic music, and we cannot lie.
You other brothers can't deny.
Do you have $50 right now?
Yeah, of course.
Of course you got $50. Ooh, turn that up, Ray.
Who's that, Eddie?
Who knows? I don't even know the ones we played. I couldn't go back and nail them again. Here, Eddie.
I don't even think Eddie can get them right again.
You want the money?
I do want the money.
All right, come get it.
All right.
I brought money today just in case. I thought Eddie might. I knew Eddie's cultured. I have 60. I don't have 50.
Yeah! 60? I'll give you 10 bucks later.
All right.
I owe you 10.
Congratulations, my friend.
Woo! Thank you.
That song, Fur Elise, or have you say that, is a solo piano that Beethoven wrote around 1810. It was not discovered until 1867, 40 years after his death.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. You will also hear it occasionally with an orchestral arrangement in the background. It's been played in such movies as Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Boom.
Django Unchained, Patch Adams, Rosemary's Baby.
So creepy, Amy.
Nice job, Eddie.
Thank you, guys. Yeah!
You did it.
Good
you
job.
Did it.
Woo!
You did it.
Wow.
Thank you for your support, guys. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We knew you could do it.
I mean,
everyone's listening to that.
If we don't believe in you, who
really
does?
Wow.
No.
Wow, the gravity in that.
Now all I can think of is the telephone booth taking off.
All right.
Bobby Bones.
Yeah. Had a fun show today. Morgan, number two, what should people go check out on the podcast?
Well, Coach Monica from Netflix's documentary Cheer was on with us. And that was pretty cool.
And Amy, how do you say the name of the town that they live in?
Oh, Navarro is in, where is it? Corsicana?
Mm-hmm. Corsicana or Corsicana? How do you say it?
I say Corsicana.
Oh, wow. I say Corsicana too.
But Corsicana.
They say it different ways on the show depending
on
where
you're from.
Oh, really?
I started to get nervous if I was saying it wrong. Okay.
So you can hear our talk with her, which loved it. We're such big fans of that show. And then Eddie today kind of shot his mouth off about how much he loved classical music. I was being honest and I was like, I don't have the appreciation for it that I think I should because I'm a music nerd. And
listen to that.
Stop it.
That's how good it is.
Well, then Eddie took a challenge later in the show to see how many... famous composers he could name.
I'm so dumb.
So beautiful.
Do you like that segment, Morgan?
Yeah, it was funny.
Were you going to talk about that? I kind of stepped on your segment.
Yep, nope. It's cool. You got it.
Okay. That's the deal. Amy, what are you doing today?
Oh, I have no idea.
No.
I mean, I don't know. You?
I have an American Idol press event today. So it's the show is out Sunday, first episode, premiere on ABC.
Whoop.
And so we have a big press event today with like all the channels where it's me, Lionel, Luke Bryan, Katy Perry.
Is this the satellite one?
No, I do that in a couple days after the radio show. This is one where it's us and all the press is in the room.
Oh.
And I go up and do a little comedy. And there's a couple of the random acts they've chosen. We all answer questions. The judges answer questions.
Oh, okay.
But we're just kind of tuning up.
But so, you all do it together.
Yeah, well, I mean, mostly people care about them.
Yeah.
Me about 18%, them about 100. Sometimes they crowbar me in. I'm always grateful when they do that because I don't have to do that.
That's cool.
We did a bunch of press stuff in Hawaii for American Idol, and it was nice because they'd ask Lionel a question and he'd answer. He'd be like, Bobby, how do you feel about that? Because some of those people don't give a crap about me.
Yeah.
They have three very famous people, and Ryan was there too, so it's four very famous people and me, who's moderately known in certain areas. So normally people don't care, but even Ryan would be real cool and be like, answer a question, be like, hey, Bobby, what do you feel about that? Because nobody would ask me a question.
Yeah, they don't have to do that. That's cool.
Nice. Yeah, it's cool. Luke does it. I mean, it's a good deal. So I have that today. And then I have dinner tonight with Caitlin. Because I'll be in California. I'm leaving here to fly over. I have dinner tonight with Caitlin. And I think her brother, who I've already met. We've already met to dinner. And some other friends. I think that's the plan.
Cool.
Since it's a new relationship, we're still touring.
Yeah, still figuring it out.
We're still touring. Thank you, guys. We'll see you tomorrow on the show. Have a great day at Mr. Bobby Bones on Instagram. See you Thursday.
Bobby Bones.
The Bobby Bones Show.